Episode 65 of the Online Chicken School Podcast. Today we're talking about mixing young and mature chickens, has KFC lost their ever-loving minds, and what Don and Susie have been doing during their summer break.
And fall break and winter break.
It's time for the Online Chicken School Podcast. Whether you've been keeping chickens for years or you're just fixing to get started, we'll help you get your schooling. And now, here's the chicken tenders, Don and Susie.
Hello, I'm Don, the big chicken tender.
And I'm Susie, the little chicken tender. If you're interested in backyard chickens, you're in the right place. It doesn't matter if you have a whole lot of chickens out in the country or just a few somewhere in the city. This is where we share our knowledge, experience, and opinions to help you get the most out of your backyard flock.
Okay, now it's kind of obvious if you're a regular listener that we haven't put out a podcast in a little while.
What? Yeah, we've been away since what, last June, has it been? I didn't even want to look.
June. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And, you know, we've been, I don't know how many times we've sat down or tried to sit down in front of the microphone here and get rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And I always said, I don't want to talk about why we haven't podcasted in a while. Just get going.
Right.
Just sit down and get moving and get the momentum going again.
Yeah, let's pretend that there hasn't been a huge break and just go for it.
Well, it's not about pretending. It's about the fact if you're a regular listener, you understand we haven't been podcasting.
True.
And if you're a new listener, I didn't want to spend 20 minutes talking about why.
That's
what it was.
You know?
I just wanted to get back to business.
Mm-hmm. But
it's been so long now, I think we have to explain.
I think so, too.
It's not because we don't love you.
No, it's because Don hid me in a bunker.
Yes, we had a lot of emails from people who are concerned. Are you guys okay?
Mm-hmm.
Some people just, is Susie okay?
I felt the love.
Had a few visits from law enforcement officials. You know, is Susie still around?
Okay, we aren't going to get that personal now. Come on, back it off.
I'm just joking about that part. But, all right, I don't want to spend 20 minutes talking about this, but I do feel we have to sort of explain what's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 20 years since I moved from central New York to Florida.
Wow.
And then...
You're really old.
Yeah, I'm getting up there. Yeah, once you start talking about how things have happened in the past and they're two decades ago, that's a sign that you have a lot of experience under your belt.
Yeah, I always thought that was so funny when I was very young, you know? And people would go, well, 20 years ago or 30 years ago, I'm like, wow, you guys are so old. Now we're doing it. And it's like, we're the old people now.
I'm okay with that, though.
I know you are.
The idea of getting old doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, me, not so much.
Okay, so I had allergies all growing up in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fortunately, in Syracuse, you spend 5 months of the year or 4 months of the year just covered in snow.
Right.
And snow has a real dampening effect on pollen. It really has nowhere to go. There's nothing alive. Everything's dormant.
True.
So, you know, you have a miserable few months and then the rest of the year you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I moved down here in January when I didn't have allergies up north. I wasn't experiencing them. And so when I got here, I didn't have allergies and it just felt normal because it's wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
But it took me almost 2 years to realize, hey, I haven't had any allergy symptoms since I moved down here, which defies logic because Florida, something is blooming literally every month of the year.
Yep.
There is something that is putting out pollen, and I was allergic to almost everything. So I thought, hallelujah, I am allergy free now. I don't know why, but I must not be allergic to anything down here. I'm clearly not allergic to palm trees. And I thought, this is amazing. And that lasted for about 5 years. And then I would just get a little sniffle 1 year. You know, it'd be just a little bit of a sniffle that didn't seem to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I got a little cold. It didn't even associate it with allergies. But then every year it kept getting worse and worse until it dawned on me, hey, I got allergies again. This is what it is. And yes, because Florida has something blooming all year round, it was pretty much all year round.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't bad at first, but it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And then the last 5 years down here have been miserable.
Yeah, we went from living in a condo where we didn't have to be outside at all. And the allergies were manageable. You know, we'd take some Schmeritan D.
Don't try and do my material. I do the schmer, whatever. The schm.
See, it's a tough one.
I'll hide the company names.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my job.
Anyway, we'd take our no-name allergy medicine and it would control it. We were fine. Well, then we had the brilliant idea, hey, let's move out to the country onto 5 acres where we have, I don't know, 3,000 trees surrounding us. And in the summer, we have to mow the lawn twice a week, which blows pollen right in your face, and animals and all that. So we spend most of our free time outside. Not the best idea for someone with horrible allergies, but we found out quickly that the allergy medicine we'd been taking no longer works, like pretty much at all. So not only are you outside getting bombarded, now you have nothing to help it.
But the allergies were pretty intense in the condo. I remember that's where it started becoming intense, really intense. And it was pretty bad. It was not easy because we were in the condo. Because I don't care where you are in Florida, as much as it looks like a big slab of concrete down here, everything has trees, everything has pollen. And just being in the condo, you were surrounded by landscaping and everything else. You couldn't get away from it. But they keep saying every year the allergies, the allergens are worse than the year before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I go to the pharmacy, I'd ask him, I'm like, what is going on? Why is this not working anymore? And we'd switch up our allergy medicine. And he's like, I got to tell you, he says, more people now every season are getting allergies than he goes, I've ever seen in my life. He goes, people that have never had allergies are all of a sudden coming in here going, what's wrong with me?
Last May, I started doing the allergy injections, where basically they say you're dying of this poison that's in the air, so we're going to take that poison and inject it into you directly.
Twice a week.
I'm not afraid of needles. You're deathly afraid of needles.
I will never do an allergy shot. I don't care if I can't see out my eyes. Nope. Not worth it.
Well, I don't really have an aversion to needles, but it's not fun.
No.
And I don't care about the getting pricked with a needle. It's the having to sit in the doctor's waiting room for 20 minutes, 30 minutes after. That's boring. So the problem is the allergies have been getting worse, and then you start getting allergy injections. Well, you're getting injected with the stuff that you're allergic to, which gives you another reaction. So it's like you're having a double reaction all the time.
Yeah. It's been miserable. I've felt very bad for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. That's very nice.
Mm-hmm. Although I can't be in the same room with you for more than 10 minutes because you drive me crazy.
Yeah, I know. My sneezing, coughing. For me, it's your throat fills up with phlegm and you spend every minute of the day clearing your throat.
Every minute. And literally.
I find it annoying. I can't imagine what it's like for you.
Well, anyway, it started to kind of get a little better. You know, we're in winter, so we're like, yay, maybe it'll be cold enough here where things will die off. But no, we'll have like 2 cold days and then, you know, it'll be in the 80s for a week and a half. So everything goes, hey, let's never go dormant. Let's just keep blooming all year because they're just kidding about that winter thing. But it seems like maybe your allergy shots are working a little better.
Well, the thing is, they say it takes about a year to figure out if they're working. And then if it goes 18 months and you don't notice that it's working, it's not working and we'll stop. So it's like, we're not quite, it'll be another 4 months from now, 3 months from now, when we find out for sure, is this doing anything or not? Mm-hmm. And it's like, what a pain. But I have spent from May until December pretty much hiding inside all year.
Yes.
You know, my love is to get home from work, run outside and just work in the yard, work on little projects, go to my workshop, which I finally got almost exactly the way I like it with all the tools where they're supposed to go. And I can't really feel like I can enjoy it because I'll sneeze myself inside out.
Right.
So that has been, it's been a frustrating 6 months. But then on top of that, it's the foggy brain. It just takes away all your brain's ability to process anything and put it in logical order. You know, you go to sit down and do some work and you realize I've been staring at the monitor for 15 minutes now and I don't even know what I'm trying to do now.
Yeah, it takes 3 times as long to do something you normally would have. So I've been trying my best to pick up the slack with stuff outside, you know, mowing the lawn when I could. But I got to tell you, the yard is a mess. It's really been neglected.
That's true. But the thing is, Okay, we can wrap this up. I didn't want to go into this much detail.
It's only been like 20 minutes.
Yeah, I didn't want to go into this much detail, but you know, the upshot is we are podcasting again.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to keep doing it? Yes, that is our intent. If this doesn't solve my allergies, well, we're going to have to move to the desert and then we'll just podcast from there and we'll just start like a dry chicken podcast.
Literally.
So we appreciate your concerns and your emails. It's been very nice. Please stop sending police to the house, though. Susie is fine. I'm going to put on the Facebook page a picture of Susie with today's newspaper.
No, that'll look like a ransom demand or something.
That's true. Okay, let's get back to business here. Right before Christmas, we held our last chicken class of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we start off each class by going around and sort of ask people, where are they? You know, where are you at with chickens? And basically, why are you here? Because I'll sort of tailor the class based on why people are taking the class. I mm-hmm. can focus more on this, less on this. And so there's this one guy and he's there by himself. And he says his daughter, who's an adult and she lives on her own, she rents a place and she found a rooster. And decided to take it in and take care of it, which is a really nice thing to do. But her neighbors didn't think so. She's in a rental place. Well, sure enough, it wasn't too long before somebody said, look, you got to get rid of the rooster. You can't keep that around here.
Mm-hmm.
Which she did. So this guy said, I'm going to get her some chickens for Christmas that are all hens. So she gets to keep them because she loves the chickens. And I thought, that's really nice. I mean, that's what a normal parent would do is, my child really loved this rooster, had to get rid of it. She said, she can have hens, though, so I'll get her some hens. I think that's pretty normal thinking.
Yeah, maybe. Okay.
All right. This guy said, I'm not only going to do that, but I'm also going to take this 4-hour chicken class
mm-hmm.
so that I can have enough information to help her raise the chickens.
Now that wins him Father of the Year in my book.
If that doesn't, then the system is rigged.
Now, there was another lady in our class that I found fascinating. She came to the class with her husband. And sometimes you'll have this where the husband's more interested in chickens than the wife, or the wife is more interested in the husband. And this was the case with this couple. It didn't seem like she really wanted to have anything to do with chickens. She was almost afraid of them. So we bring out, towards the beginning of the class, we bring out the chickens and we talk about the different parts of the chicken and we've got a male and a female there. And then we bring a bunch of the other hens out and then we teach people how to handle them. We teach them how to pick them up and what to do if they start flapping because they always do. So it's a great time to teach them how to control their chicken. Every time the chicken would be passed to her, she just kind of scooted it on to the next person. She's like, no, that's okay, no. And she just kind of like start backing up. So after a couple times of doing this, I went over by her and I'm like, listen, this is really not complicated. I know it freaks you out. It's very intimidating to, if you've never touched chicken before, to grab a full-size chicken and, you know, carry it around. So she finally did do it, and I was so proud of her, but you could tell she was not enjoying it at all. She was like, okay, I did it. Now can you guys leave me alone? Well, then when it's time to bring the chickens back into the holding area where we keep them, we always ask people like, hey, everybody grab a chicken. And there's usually maybe 3 or 4 out there we put. Grab a chicken and let's bring them back to the cage so it doesn't take quite so long. Well, me and Don grabbed a chicken, and another lady grabbed a chicken. And then one of the hens was just sitting there. No one was grabbing it. And we all kind of were walking out. I just assume all the chickens will be taken care of and someone will get it. Next thing I know, this same lady walks out carrying the last chicken.
And she's very vocal about it too. She's like, thanks a lot, guys. Yeah. I know what you did. You did it on purpose.
But you know what? After that, she said, I'm so glad you guys forced me to grab this chicken because now I'm not afraid of it anymore. And I think that's the big thing with chickens. There's so much unknown and you hear so many stories that it's very intimidating. So I was so proud of her, and her husband just kept saying, see, I knew you'd like it. See, I knew you'd like it. And she was smiling. It was great.
All right. So real quick, I want you to talk about our niece, Brooke.
Mm-hmm.
She's now 5 years old. And since the last time we did a podcast, she has a new thing she does with Aunt Susie.
Yeah, she has been coming over about once a month, and we spend the weekend together. She stays the night here, and the first thing she wants to do is feed the dogs. That is her number one thing, because she loves Sadie. Sadie is her favorite and can do no wrong. The second thing she always asks to do is go check on the chickens and collect the eggs. So she'll unlatch the door and open it up, and she'll look around for eggs. And I'm telling you, every time she sees an egg, it's as if she's seeing one for the first time. Like, she's totally surprised. Like, oh my God, there's an egg. Like, yes, that's what they're supposed to be doing. And then she'll go and she'll go, let me check their water. Yep, that looks good. They could use some more food. So she is like the little chicken tender.
Yeah, I'm the big chicken tender. You used to be the little chicken tender, but now she's the little one. So I guess that makes you the medium chicken tender.
I'm like the mid-size.
I don't know.
I don't know, but she's definitely taken that little chicken tender spot.
I think she's the chicken nugget.
There you go.
You're the little chicken tender. She's still a chicken nugget.
Mm-hmm. Well, yesterday, for the first time, she held a full-grown chicken. She'd held chicks before, and the little ones are a couple weeks old. She's played with them. But we've got a chicken we had to separate, and we wanted to bring it into the yard, get it out of the garage, get it some fresh air, put it in a cage we have on the grass, let it get some grass, fresh air, and all that. Well, we had to carry it from the coop in the garage out to the outside. And I asked her, thinking she was going to be like, no, I don't want to carry it. She says, hey, do you want to carry the chicken out there? She was thrilled. She's like, yeah, I'll carry it. I know how to do it. So I gave her the chicken, and sure enough, she walked it all the way out to the yard and had the biggest smile on her face.
It was absolutely adorable. And she does that carry that all kids do. Like, she's like just giving the thing a bear hug.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how chickens survive children, but yeah.
It works. It works. And I'll tell you, give her a couple weeks with that chicken every single day. That chicken would follow her around and be her best friend. Runs away from me, but would probably fall in love with her.
And now, the news, news, news.
Okay, so in the chicken news today, I need to talk about KFC.
What is going on with them?
And I'm not even going to try and hide the name, because there's no point. Have they lost their ever-loving minds? It's been about a year, I think, since they started this thing where they basically dug up the Colonel and... recreated him or regenerated him. They did the Jurassic Park thing, I guess, where they took some cells and like combined them with a dinosaur. But they brought the Colonel back to life.
Creepiest guy ever.
Am I the only one who sees this? I don't know what else to say, but creepy. It is so creepy every time you're watching him. And it's not because, hey, we know that the Colonel died and we're seeing him. Because... you know, when you'd see the Orville Redenbacher commercials and they do the flashback to Grandpa Redenbacher way back in the past, teaching mm-hmm. his Redenbacher boys, or, you know, they do that. That doesn't freak me out.
No, not at all.
But they're not doing some guy playing the Colonel 30 years ago. They're like, no, the Colonel's back and here he is.
Oh, gross.
And I'm sorry, but that Colonel, if I was the Colonel, I'd be pretty torqued because that guy, it's got to be on a watch list. That's all I'm saying. Has to be.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No.
I don't know.
So, I had a very strong reaction when I first saw him. I think I threw the remote at the TV maybe or shut it off. I don't know. It was like, ooh.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. Are they all on drugs? Because this doesn't make any sense. I mean, I'm not a brilliant marketing person, but I have a background in marketing. It's actually repelled me from their product.
Yeah.
And I don't know. When you're thinking about food, maybe repulsion is not the first thing you want people to think of.
No, it's not.
Maybe that's not the first thing. Maybe repulsion is not the first thing you want people to feel when they hear your name. So now KFC is in the news again for a new product that they're coming out with. It's not even a food item.
I know.
It has nothing to do with their chains at all. It's sunscreen.
Yeah, because they said, hey, we've got this chicken stuff down to a science. Now let's get into skincare.
Yeah. We've tackled the creepy chicken world.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's expand our horizons. So they're going to do sunscreen. But here's the kicker. The sunscreen smells like fried chicken.
Chicken. Fried chicken scented sunscreen.
Because when you're on the beach, sizzling under the sun, why wouldn't you want to smell fried chicken everywhere you go?
I don't know. Whenever I would lay out as a teenager, I would always put on that coconut oil. That, to me, was like tropical. You're like, ooh, I feel like I'm in the tropics, laying on the beach. You got that coconut smell. You feel like, even though you're not, that you're like drinking some coconutty drink. If someone would have said, hey, would you slather this fried chicken sunscreen on me? We just wouldn't be able to be friends anymore, I think. I'd just walk away.
My concern would be that in Florida, we have a lot of people who bring their dogs to the beach.
Oh, no.
I mean, do you want to be walking around a beach or any place in public smelling like fried chicken? And then, you know, all of a sudden, I imagine I'm going to be running down the beach being chased by a pack of wild dogs.
Maybe what it is, you know how they say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach?
Yeah.
Maybe you got girls that, you know, are like, hey, I'm just not getting as many dates as I want. I slather on the sunscreen, walk down the beach. The guys are just going to follow me home.
Listen, if you said KFC perfume, if you said fried chicken perfume, I get it. I'm there.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
I'll buy you a gallon bottle. It'd be like one of those old-fashioned bottles that has to be shaped like something. It'd be shaped like a drumstick.
Ew.
With a little sprayer on the top.
Nice. You do have a background in marketing.
See, I could sell that product, but I don't know. Just it just reminds you of the fact that you're baking in the sun. I'm literally frying out here.
Yeah, I don't think that product's going anywhere.
I wonder if it's really sunscreen or if it's peanut oil and they're frying you.
Well, you know what? They may be trying to be more environmentally friendly. They're taking all of that old fryer grease that smells like fried chicken. Yes, they're recycling it. See, they're putting a little bit of SPF protection in there. Boom.
They're crazy.
I know.
Now, I noticed they have changed the colonel since the original reanimation of him.
Yep.
Like, they changed it, but now he's not creepy anymore. Now it's just disturbing.
Yeah.
Because now they got the colonel who's just frying in the sun. That's
well,
their
see?
New thing. It's like he's that actor who's so over-tanned. I can't remember his name.
We all know who you're talking about.
But, you know, it's the joke of him and he's fried. I'm like, this is disturbing on so many levels.
Well, see, that's where it connects with the sunscreen. They go, see, if the colonel would have used his own sunscreen, he wouldn't look so freaky.
All right. That's enough talk about this. KFC, stop it.
Yes.
Just stop it.
Go back to just making chicken and just being there. We all know where you are. We all know what you make. We all love it. Stop.
We all know what you smell like. We can't go to the plaza without smelling it.
Stop creeping us out.
You asked for it. Here it is.
Okay, it has been a little while since we've been answering questions on the podcast. So we have a little bit of a backlog of questions to answer.
That's not totally a bad thing.
Yeah, but we got to get through some of these.
Okay.
And we got to get through them pretty quick. I don't want to turn this into a 12-hour podcast to make up the time.
Oh, please, no.
All right. So just real quick, here are some answers to questions you have emailed us. Yes, Bard rocks. No, sometimes 95 degrees. It really doesn't make a difference.
Hey. No, that's not how we're going to answer the questions.
Well, I got to get through these things.
Yes, but no one knows what the question was if that's the answer.
Well, I think if you ask the question, you know the answer. You can figure out that, oh, that was my answer.
I don't know. Let's try a different way.
Why are you always trying to be controlling?
I'm sorry. I'm such a nag.
All right. I guess it might take us a little while to get through some of these, but we've picked out, we've actually been answering emails as we go along.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a little email kerfluffle somewhere in there around, I think, July or August. We had a little email issue where we were answering things, but I got the feeling they weren't getting to people, but that was a issue with our email provider, and that got fixed.
Yes, thankfully.
But other than that, if you've asked a question, I think we've answered them all.
Yes, we have. And if you haven't gotten our response, of course, sometimes we end up in junk mail. We do try and get back to you within a day or two, even on Facebook things. We try and get back super quick. So if you don't get an answer,
our policy is we try and answer questions within 48 hours. Mm-hmm. And if not, then we try and do it within 2 weeks.
That really,
and if not that, then we try and do it within 2 months.
And if not, then we're just going to lose it and not answer it at all. No, we do take it very seriously when you ask us questions. We do get right back to you. Honestly, the best way to get us is on Facebook. It's something that we can very quickly respond to. Don probably gets 200 emails between business stuff and all this other junk mail and all that. So it is kind of sometimes hard to find that email when it comes through. Facebook's the best way to get us, and we do respond very, very quickly.
So I want to talk about one question that we got from Haven, who did contact us through Facebook.
And she says, "Hi, Don and Susie. I want to get chickens. I was wondering what I should do if I have a rooster that mates with the hens. I know I couldn't incubate all the fertilized eggs without separating the rooster for over 21 days. Separating him seems like it would cause a lot of stress. Should I do what most websites tell me to do and pick the best-looking fertilized eggs and discard the rest? I can't help but feeling like I'm wasting lives if I don't incubate all of them. What do you guys do when you breed your chickens? Thank you for your amazing podcast."
Okay. The reason I like this question is because most of the questions we get are very technical. Mm-hmm. You know, it's how do I do this? How do I do that? This one is a little more philosophical, I think.
Yes.
Okay. It kind of feels like there's really sort of three questions piled into one here. But the basic idea that I'm getting from this is if you have a fertilized egg and you don't allow it to hatch, did you just waste a little chicken life?
That is like a deep thinking question. How do you answer something like that?
Well, for me, it's really easy.
Oh.
You have to first embrace your chickenness. Something I have no problem doing.
Oh, yeah.
You just have to become the chicken.
Okay.
Be the chicken, Susie.
I don't know. I'm going to have a hard time with that.
Well, here's how I look at that. If you were to take your flock and just sort of turn it loose on the world, what would happen? How would they act if they suddenly were chickens about town?
Well, a couple hours away from us is Key West. And I'll tell you, there are chickens running everywhere in Key West. Any of you that's been there, you know, you walk down the street, you hear roosters crowing, you see chickens running across the street. They are the scrawniest chickens you've ever seen, but there are chickens everywhere.
Yeah, nobody in Key West has an alarm clock.
No, they don't need it. And I don't think anyone has to keep chickens in a coop because these wild chickens are just running everywhere. You just grab one if you need one, I guess.
Yeah, right. It's like the local chicken library. Like, I'm just going to borrow this chicken for a while and then I'll return it when I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'll see chickens sort of in every phase of life because you'll see roosters out there. It seems like you always see a hen walking around with about 6 or 7 baby chicks walking behind her.
That is the cutest thing.
It is adorable.
We're just walking down the street and you see this chicken over on the side of the road and you're like, what is that around her? And then they all start walking across the street. You're like, oh my God, that's the most adorable thing I've ever seen.
So let's say your chickens decided to move to Key West or you just sort of turned them loose in your community. They basically would continue to stick together as a group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they aren't going to suddenly decide we're all going our own ways. They're a group and they'll pretty much stay that way. And as long as that rooster is hanging around, every single egg they lay will be a fertilized egg.
Well, them roosters take their job very seriously.
They have basically one role in life. Yes. And they are workaholics.
Yes.
They never take a break from that one role they play. So because every egg is fertilized, if the hen decides to sit on that egg, there is a 95% chance that it's going to hatch.
Mm-hmm.
So the key question here is, would the hens hatch all the fertilized eggs they lay?
And I think the answer is no.
And why is that, Susie?
Okay, you think about all the eggs a hen is going to lay in a year. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, like 5 a week.
Yeah. Now, most of them, she's just going to lay them, and then she's going to walk away and forget about them. So a rat's going to come along, eat that egg, snakes, raccoons, they're going to eat anything. So them eggs are going to get snatched up pretty quickly.
But the point is, every egg a hen lays, she is not going to even try to hatch it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be times of the year when she's broody and times of the year that she really doesn't care at all.
Right.
So when spring rolls around and she does start to get that feeling of, hey, it's a good time to hatch some eggs, that's what she'll do. But the number she hatches will be a very low percentage of the total number she's laid that year.
Right, absolutely.
So if the hen doesn't see it as a waste of her eggs, I say, who are we to argue?
Mm-hmm. I agree. Right now we have 3 coops of chickens. One of the coops does not have a rooster, which is very odd for us. We've always had
a rooster in every coop.
Yes, that's our motto.
Sometimes 2. When they were young.
Yeah. So most of the eggs we get are fertilized.
And our eggs all go to different uses. Mm-hmm. Some are incubated, some are for us to eat, some are for neighbors and family to eat.
And some, if they're covered in a lot of chicken poo, go to the dogs to eat.
Right.
Well, just as a side note here, we have not put lights in our coop this year for the winter. So every egg has been incredibly precious to us.
That's right.
As you saw on the Facebook page, when I had to go to the store and buy eggs and I was mortified, we really appreciate our chickens' eggs. So very rarely have they gone to the dogs this winter.
Well, and I was trying to figure out last week, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm so tired of not getting eggs from the chickens. Did we not put lights in the coop because we were doing it as sort of a moral point or as a nicety for the chickens? Or was I just lazy and never put lights in the coop? I can't remember.
I think it's kind of a combination. I think you were always the one that was right on it with getting the light in the coop, and you haven't been outside, so you didn't think of it. And then once I realized, like, wow, I'm really running short on eggs, the coops were so far into the backyard that we would have had to run like 12 extension cords to get to them to get the light lit. So then we just decided to give them the winter off.
Yeah. Well, it should be pretty soon here that they got enough light to start laying again.
I did notice yesterday there were a couple eggs in there, so I was thrilled.
Okay, good. So hopefully that machine kicks back into gear and we'll be up to our eyebrows and eggs again pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so about separating the rooster. You mentioned that you don't want to have to separate the rooster. It'll cause stress, and you are absolutely right.
Yeah, definitely.
You don't want to separate your rooster from the flock.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to cause stress for the rooster because he's not with his flock, and now he doesn't feel like he's doing his job, which, again, he takes very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And it also causes stress for the hens, because if the flock doesn't have a rooster, you know that there are going to be some serious negotiations going on to restructure the pecking order.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as the rooster's gone, now some of those hens are going to go, hey, I think I have a shot at being number one.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a reason not to take your rooster out.
Well, and there's been times in the past that we've had to temporarily separate a rooster from his ladies because either one of them was injured or he was injured or something like that. But when we do that, we try and keep their coop side by side so they can at least see each other. And that has seemed to help with the whole pecking order redistribution, because it's like the rooster's kind of still there. And he's always still talking to his girls, and it's like they're standing in the runs looking at each other, just separated by a foot or two. But he still keeps them in line. It's really interesting.
Well, the reason we do that is because you know he's going to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just for a rooster. We've done this when we have an injured, not a sick hen. If you had a sick hen, you'd want to quarantine them, and you don't quarantine them by putting them right next to each other.
Right.
But if you have an injured hen, then that's what we would do, is put her in another coop, but put them right next to each other. Because you just know she's going back there, and you don't want them to sort of feel like, hey, Bernice is gone. All right. Now, there's the other issue you mentioned about which eggs to pick to incubate. You know, different people have different philosophies on this stuff. It kind of depends on what your ideas for your flock, where you want to take your flock. We've known people who say, I only take the very biggest eggs because I want my chickens to get physically bigger, and I figure the bigger egg will be a bigger chicken, or it'll be a healthier chicken, and therefore those are the only ones I hatch. Or the, you know, people have different philosophies.
Mm-hmm. We don't really do that. We just look them over and see if the egg looks good. You know, are there anything that looks like cracks in it? Is there dirt on it? Is there a lot of poo on it? Well, those we're definitely not going to put in the incubator. But pretty much all the rest, as long as we have enough to eat, we're putting all the rest in the incubator.
Yeah, if it's of average or better size and there's no defects we can see, then it goes in the incubator. Piece of cake. So for us, it isn't so much a matter of picking out the best ones as just eliminating the worst ones.
Right. Well, Haven, I hope we answered all your questions. And for anybody else out there that has a question, contact us on our Facebook page or through our website.
Okay, we got a couple reviews that I want to share with you. The first one comes from William J. Focus. And his review says, "Chicken butt. You guys are awesome. I'm about to receive my first batch of hens next week and am so grateful for all the information and tips you provided. Your entertaining chicken wisdom has been so helpful preparing me to be a successful chicken owner. Keep up the great podcast."
Well, that one came in several months ago, so by now his chickens are probably laying. So hopefully he did all right. Another review comes from Dee Dee Doodles, and it says, "This is my favorite podcast for all things chicken. I've learned so much and put so many of the recommendations into practice. I enjoy their conversational and often humorous delivery of information. Thank you, Don and Susie. Maybe my husband and I will take a trip to Florida for one of your classes. Oh, wait, we have chickens that need to be taken care of. We'll just keep listening. Keep those podcasts coming."
Well, William J. Focus and Dee Dee Doodles, thank you so much for taking the time to go to iTunes and write those really, really nice reviews.
We really appreciate it.
Okay, before we get back to your questions, I just want to remind you that if you do any shopping on Amazon this week, consider going to our website first at onlinechickenschool.com and clicking on the Amazon link over there.
As you know, it's going to take you to the same Amazon site that you know and love, and you're going to pay the exact same price for the things you buy, but Amazon's going to help us out with a little bit of a commission, and this helps us pay some of the podcasting bills.
So if you like the show and want to help us keep it going, just go to onlinechickenschool.com and click on the Amazon link to make all your Amazon purchases. Some of you are doing this on a regular basis, and you really are the best people.
There they go again. More shameless self-promotion.
All right, another question came to us on Facebook, and it was from Robert in Colorado.
And Robert says, "Is it possible to add 2 laying hens to 12 pullets that are 8 weeks old? My kids are dying to have eggs from their chickens." And so then he goes on to say he wants to go buy 2 adult laying hens and then basically quarantine them for a few weeks and then introduce them to the pullets, who will be about 3 months old at that point.
Well, Robert, anytime chickens are added to an existing flock, we've mentioned this a lot of times, there's going to be a power struggle to establish the new pecking order. They're always going to be trying to figure out who's number 1, 2, 3, and all the way down to the last hen.
And we've had to integrate 2 different flocks together before. We've had to add chickens. We've had to take chickens from one flock and put them in another flock. Mm-hmm. We've gone through this a number of times. And, you know, you hear horror stories of people where it takes weeks and weeks and weeks of trying to get them to get along. Ours have never been that bad.
Yeah, we usually take about a weekend.
Yeah, usually 2 or 3 days will do it for us. No, that feels like months.
Oh, yeah.
When you're doing it, because you're like, come on, just get along already.
Yeah, stop pecking at each other already.
And the thing is, you know, chickens, they just sort of have this brutal way of figuring it out with the whole pecking routine. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting there watching, and every time one of them thumps another one on the head, you like cringe, and it's like, ah.
And if they draw blood, then you have to separate that one and get the blood to stop, because then you're going to have a massacre on your hands if you don't. I mean, you do have to really carefully watch this play out.
It's doable. It just takes a little bit of patience. It takes some time and not rushing things. We always tell people when you're introducing new birds into the flock, don't rush them in there. Don't just, you know, throw them in the coop with the other ones and go, good luck, ladies. Mm-hmm. Hope you figure it out. But the issue here is not about technique. It's not about time, patience. The issue I have here is the size difference between the chickens. What you're talking about is taking full-grown hens, mm-hmm, and throwing them into a flock where they're, at 3 months of age, they're going to be, I don't know, maybe a third the size, maybe a fourth the size of adults. So that's a big size disparity.
Yeah.
And the thing I worry about there is, sure, the bigger hens will probably get the other ones in line, but my concern is they're not going to hold back on their brutality just because they're smaller.
That's right.
You know, they're going to treat them like that's another full-size hen, and when they give them a thump on the head, it's coming from a beak that's much larger than theirs, and it's being driven by a neck that's much larger than theirs.
Absolutely.
So that's my concern, is just those younger hens, they are going to be the lower end of the pecking order for sure. But they just, I don't know. My concern is, my worry is that they aren't big enough and substantial enough yet to take the pecking that they're going to get to enforce that order.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, from listening for any length of time, we are really not big fans of bringing adult chickens onto your flock and introducing them anyway because of biosecurity. Now, you did mention quarantining them first, so that's a good step.
But again, because of the size disparity, if you're going to do this, I think it's fine, but I wouldn't look at it as I'm bringing two birds in and quarantining them. I would look at it as I'm going to get two adult birds. Again, all the usual precautions we always talk about, you know, figure out whether you get an oogie vibe from where you're getting them from, sort of really understand where you're getting them from and try and get disease-free birds as best you can. Don't just get the first thing you find on Craigslist. But then don't think of it as I'm bringing these birds in, quarantining them, and then introducing them to the young ones. Think of it as I'm just going to have two flocks for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe for as much as 9 months, maybe almost a year.
Right.
Because if you do that, you know, the adult hens are as big as they're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to get any bigger or not much bigger. So this gives the time for the younger ones to catch up in size. And once they've caught up in size, like 9 months to a year from now, now putting together is really no big deal. You still have the normal, you know, trying to figure it out, take the baby steps and go slowly. But it's just a normal chicken integration issue. You know, you don't have the size disparity. So some people, that's a big deal. You know, if you've built a really big stationary coop and run, the idea of building another one on your property is probably really not exciting. But if you built a little chicken tractor, sometimes adding another chicken tractor is not really a big deal. You know, the idea of having two mini flocks isn't that scary for some people.
Well, for me, it kind of all comes down to a different issue. You know, you can go through the trouble of trying to find someplace that you have a great feeling about their chickens and quarantining them and have two different flocks. Or to me, this is a great opportunity for you and your children to exercise and learn a lot about patience. Anybody that's had chickens knows that is probably the biggest thing you learn with chickens from the time you start till the time you're done with them is everything's about patience. Waiting for that first egg, waiting for them to start laying again, waiting for them to come out of their molt, to stop being broody. I mean, it's a huge lesson in patience.
I like that take.
Yeah, I do too. Thank you.
If you do say so yourself. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. You know, it's you know that if you have chickens, someday you are, like I said, going to be up to your eyebrows in eggs. You're going to have more eggs than you know what to do with if you have enough chickens. But getting to that point is definitely an exercise in patience. That first 6 months, you will either give up halfway through or you will learn patience.
Well, but I got to tell you, when you've waited that long, getting that first egg, there is nothing more exciting in life at that moment than I got my first egg, because you took care of those babies and you nurtured them. And it's like, it's an accomplishment. Whereas I think, you know, you bring in two other laying hens, they start laying shortly after they arrive. It just takes away a little bit of that, I think.
Well, that's why you can always tell with your Facebook friends which ones have chickens. If you don't know already, because when you post that first egg on Facebook, and you will,
mm-hmm.
everybody who has chickens does, and you post that first picture that looks like a tiny rubber ball, but it's really an egg.
Yeah.
And you're all excited, like, oh my gosh, I got my first egg after only 6 months. And all your friends who have chickens will be like, that's amazing, that's so awesome, that's great. Your friends who don't have chickens will be like, yeah, it's an egg. It costs 20 cents at the store.
Yeah, I've been getting those every week.
They don't understand why you're so excited.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Robert, I hope that helped. And send us an email. Let us know what you end up doing. Okay, well, as always, thank you for listening. If you like the show, consider going to iTunes and giving us a really nice rating over there. Also, make sure you tell a friend and get them listening.
And if you want to see the show notes for this episode, go to onlinechickenschool.com/65. That's all for today. Talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Online Chicken School Podcast. Look for us on the web at onlinechickenschool.com.